Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. It's your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful yet again for each of you who are following us on Facebook Live, perhaps, or on the Blog Talk Radio platform. Either way, we're grateful for you, those who have followers, those who will join us later on here. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host. Too often, people make the mistake, I think it's an honest mistake, of lumping all male progenitors in the category fatherhood. I'm all in it. Now, while a father is a male progenitor, no doubt about it, not all progenitors have reached the august state of being a father. As promised during our last episode on the 8th here, this past Tuesday of June 2021, the delineated process of growing into fatherhood will be shared tonight. So join me. Join me for our monologue where yours truly, I will share with you this concept that we're talking about, fatherhood. How do you reach me, Doc? How do I join the live conversation? How do I be a part of the dialogue? Two ways. You can either give us a call here. In fact, I prefer that you do so at 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. You call us, we put you in the studio, and you can talk live and communicate and have dialogue with us. All we ask that you do is to, we have a specified topic tonight, that being from birth to fatherhood. That's what we're talking about tonight, from birth to father. You want to join us in this conversation, please do so. In fact, I encourage you to do so. From birth to fatherhood, it's a delineated process. Growing from birth to fatherhood, you'll find out who that is specifically germane to. All right? 657-383-0944. Or you can post your question and or comment, follow us on Facebook Live, right there in the thread there, the group thread. We'll be happy to go back and entertain them and share your comments and your questions with those that are joining us in the live podcast studio. All right. As always, these are recorded, so you can go and grab them from the blogtalkradio.com/BFC Institute. You can download the full show there at that location. And you can also, when our Facebook live stream is working, you can grab it there on our Facebook group and BFC Institute. That's the name of our group. Israel Dockery is the page, and BFC Institute is the group that you can join and gather all the other, capture all the other previous conversations. All right, having said that, we'll get right to it. We'll get right to it. And we hope that our co-host, Pastor Waller, will be able to join us tonight and you as well. Again, the number to call, 657-383-0944. June 10th. 2021, through fatherhood. Now, Psalms 139 and 14 reads like this. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Someone stop to recognize that the grand architect of the universe in his infinite wisdom and great creativity made man both fearfully and wonderfully. Isn't that good news? And what we're going to talk about tonight is this process that was that goes along with this man that was made. Made woman, too. Right now we're talking about this path from being born a male child to potentially becoming a father, thereby being in the state of fatherhood. So let me begin by explaining. I started a seminar and lecture series in 2006. We had our first lecture offered at Fisk University in the historic chapel. Dr. James Haney was gracious enough to be our MC for today, and we had on hand many good people from Nashville, Tennessee. Well, we began there, and at the time I was pastoring at Mount Sinai Assembly Presbyterian Church in Nashville, and we took the series. We had a series of sessions, groups, and workshops at the church there and invited people to come in. And we went to other places as well. And we began to develop stories, conversations, and dialogue following the one of the research traditions for studying and documenting, where we develop personal stories and inferences and so forth and so on. As our evidence, okay? And so from there, we were able to extract the concept or an idea that was based in some real experiences. I believe, if I remember correctly, the oldest gentleman that we engaged was 75 years old, and the youngest was 16. I had an opportunity before my father passed, rest his soul, to share with him this work and this manual that I self-published through my nonprofit. And in our conversation, he being a man who struggled himself with many things and did his best as a father, he said to me, he asked a question. He said, is this about saying that you're better than any of the other men? And I said to him, no, absolutely not. But it is about doing better, collectively speaking, than we have. That's what we should strive to do, is to improve all time. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people who missed out on a loving relationship with their father. for various reasons, as we pointed out the other night, you know, incarceration being one, death being another, and then some brothers are just lost. Hence the reason we reemphasize this tonight in our conversation as we lead into Father's Day 2021. Next week, my endeavor is to have a few men on who are fathers to talk to us about their experience, their challenges as a father, their successes. See, that's how we grow. That's how we grow. And Tuesday night we will have a similar conversation, but Thursday night we aim to have a few men on. We are reaching out to some individuals to ask them to join us, and we hope you join us as well, 7 o'clock p.m., Lord willing. And if the creek doesn't rise, as old folk used to say. So after now close to two decades of working and studying in this particular area of male development, beginning back in 2016, as I mentioned, I penned a workbook entitled A Framework for Fatherly Instructions, Understanding the Male Growth Process. Now, why is that germane? Because, as I pointed out, the progenitor is always going to be a male, but the male won't necessarily become a father. We often in society take very lightly the duty and the responsibility, and I'm convinced that there's been a social conditioning to walk away from accountability in the area of fatherhood, specifically for certain ethnic groups. Excuses are made. And instigations are in place to prevent. And other things are done to provoke the walk away from that responsibility and accountability, such that good people never make it there, all right? And that's really what we want to look at. So tonight, consider, I'm not asking you to accept anything, but I'm asking you to consider. And after your careful thought and consideration, you draw a similar conclusion, you can join me, all right? If you want to follow up with me, because I do have the text here, to be shared with you, for those who would like to, you can email me at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's BF, as in Bravo, Frank, Charlie, bfcinstitute@gmail.com. Be happy to engage you along those lines. All right, let's talk about first, being born a male. All right? I think we all know this, that it's two biological sexes that are there. Yes, there's a thing called hermaphrodite or some abnormal growth. We understand that as well. Okay? But for the sake of our conversation, let's focus on the biology of masculine existence. Coming in the world, you have a male child that is born with masculine features and abilities. Well, what are those? They are clearly identifiable biological features. I won't forget when both of my children were born. I was there when we had the ultrasound, and it was clear what both of their sexes were, what they were born as. And my son was very clear. And my daughter was clear by the absence of certain, the absence of a presence of certain things. My son by the presence of certain things. And so my point is that this is a very, very clearly identifiable thing. Nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to reject, nothing to fight. It's natural. During the early infancy and growth, this male child has specific physical and emotional needs and dependencies. to help it grow and develop itself. Okay? You can't expect it to know everything or know how to maintain itself because it's an infant child, a small child in or a toddler. So they require, and as I said the other night, a father to be there with the mother as the primary voices of authority in their life, shape their character, and prepare them for the world that they will engage as they grow older. All right? As they progress further during the growth phase, he unconsciously, catch this, you all, this boy, this male, unconsciously learns certain lessons. Sometimes it's a conscious thing. We talked about Eric Erickson's thought and principles about the stages of development, and we specifically spoke about trust and distrust. It is in this early phase that this male child learns to trust who and what it is they will look for example from. In the absence of a father or their biological father, the progenitor, as well as those that give love to him, then this boy child will lack that and seek it other places. I should back up and mention that the concept of a surrogate father is real here and it's applicable as well. And it, oftentimes it happens when there is a barrier. There's a reason why the natural father is not there, an uncle or a grandfather, and even a stepfather. I hate to use that phrase, but for the second of conversation, someone who was not the biological progenitor, but assumes the role. So that's what fatherhood has to do with, that role and that function. And oftentimes what happens is that it gets mixed up, gets crossed, again, because of all the instigations and things of that nature. All right? Now, at the point he becomes less physically and emotionally dependent on someone else to provide the day-to-day needs and care, guess what? He slips into what I'm calling boyhood phase. This boy now has the ability to move, to process things that they're seeing and engaging in, and even demonstrate lessons learned. Body's grown, parts have developed, or began to develop. Mind is shaping. Yeah. And he's beginning to identify himself. Roughly, we're talking about from 5 to 9 years old. Often what is behavior psychologists suggest that somewhere around 5, maybe sometime earlier for others, depending on the instruction and the influence. An example, 5 to 9 years old is when they begin to identify with their masculinity. That meaning takes shape based on their social orientation, specifically in their first and key environment, their masculine identity. Okay? This factors into what we see later on at a later stage in their development. But this is the maleness. We're looking at birth to fatherhood. At birth, you start as a male. Start as a male. All right? In this boyhood stage or phase, the male, again, as I made reference to, has seen some things, have heard some things, and had some things modeled for him. And but yet he's not fully aware and cognizant of everything. He doesn't understand a lot of things quite often, particularly if he doesn't have a coach or a voice of authority there to explain those things, and often on an age-appropriate level. Okay? Well, it's possible for him to become naive in his understanding of things, and his naivete causes him to be cocky in his reasoning. We often say, boy, that's a little boy. Them boys are always trouble. They're always active. Well, I would submit to you that Elohim created man with thought. And there's always some kind of thought that he's trying to carry out or act out, right? And he has that energy to carry it out. So that's natural. There's nothing wrong with that. What you have to do is provide the right environment for him to function as he is naturally built and determined to do so. Now, the most notable stage of boyhood is the adolescent period, that preteen and teen period. Some things are happening. We often see this on the middle school level. The body, physiologically, is going through some real changes. That boy is starting to discover some things about himself that if he doesn't have someone to explain, can scare the devil out, or could cause him to be concerned and become timid, withdrawn, because of the lack of understanding of them. All right? And this adolescent period is key and pivotal because generally they express what I'm coining or what I coined in my pen, my self-published work, as a Manding Warrior experience. Manding Warrior experience. What is that, Doctor? What do you mean by Manding Warrior? It's this path to want to become a man, to model what he's seen others do. And he fights to receive validation of his understanding, his ability. He struggles to make sure everybody else respects that. Hence the likelihood of always taking a defensive position simply by somebody else showing up in a room and sharing space with them. If he doesn't know and he hasn't been taught that you stand your ground and you know what your place is, and in doing so, you can share that with people. Now, everybody's not going to let you share your space with them, not without some kind of strife or struggle. But a well-orientated and mature individual knows how to share, especially in the public sector, this sphere or space with others. Now, he identifies with what kind of man he wants to be. Now, in this day and time, in 2021, there's a lot of confusion for a lot of young people. There are a lot of thoughts and ideas out there that have been promoted in different groups and ideologies and what have you. And more than ever before, it's very important for parents to take an active role in shaping the character and identity for their children. I would submit to you that we ought to teach them and to be raised in the fear and admonition of Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God of creation, what his purpose for them is, naturally. All right? Thus, during this phase, this male experiences chronological and even psychological emotional transitions. And as I said earlier, without the right support, the right guidance, things can go crazy for him. Things can go crazy for him. All right? Now, what happens to this boy? He doesn't get that old. Does he stay alone? Does he stay a boy? I don't want to scare nobody. But there are some 50, 60, 70-year-old boys because they've never learned how to step outside of that psychological, emotional state of being. They're stuck right there. No offense intended. It's a reality. What happens quite often is that women, our female counterpart, are frustrated with this fact because the assumption is that when you see facial hairs or certain bodily features or deep voice and things of that nature, that you're dealing with a man. And when this person has become a progenitor and participated in the birth of a child, the assumption is that automatically makes you a father. I'm sorry, beloved, that's not the case. You are a progenitor. you are still a male. And emotionally, developmentally, the question is, what phase do you operate in? As a boy or what? All right? So I guess you figured it. This boy, depending on his instruction, depending on the guidance that he has, and depending on his socialization or pro-social development, he turns into a man, crosses over into manhood. Well, what is this manhood stage, Dockery? I'm glad you asked. Of being, watch this, responsible in thought, action, and reputation. Uh-oh. What you say, Dockery? This is what I meant by there are some people chronologically grown, but yet they're stuck in a certain developmental phase, and they never reach manhood. Now, how do you say what? How do you qualify that? Well, listen to the definition. Listen to the definition. This is a state of being responsible in your thought and in your action and reputation. That's what identifies a man. Sometimes manhood begins early for young people. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Sometimes they don't ask for it to be the case, but they have to. Have to grow up real fast. With the right guidance, they'll make it. They'll make it. They'll make it. Now, I want to put a pin here about the identifying characteristic of a man or a manhood, and that is the demonstration of responsibility. That is the single most identifiable characteristic. As the demonstration of responsibility. Now, watch this. We should begin to teach that in young boys early on. You may not tell them that that's what you teach them, but you model that for them, and you create scenarios and circumstances, opportunities for them to age-appropriately demonstrate responsibility. That follows them throughout latency in life. Are you with me? All right. Recognizing the natural attraction. What did you say, Doctor? I said recognizing the natural attraction to a female counterpart. The responsible male prepares himself for a life commitment. What you say, wait. This is why we teach boys to get up and learn how to work and produce and develop something for themselves. Before you go talking to a little girl, you go get yourself together. Have something to offer. Because as a responsible individual, you're still a male. You notice you were male when you came in the world. You know you're still a male as a boy. And guess what? You're a man now. You're still a male. But now you recognize the possibility, life, reproducing life, and the need to be in a position to do so responsibly. Through the fulfillment of promise in marriage. Watch this, you all. Watch this. This man assumes the role of a husband. This is someone who, again, has recognized the natural development of individuals and the commitment between the male and the female. When Genesis 1 talked about male and female, made he them, that's what we're talking about. Man consisted of male and female. You're responsible when you recognize this and you demonstrate that. You prepare yourself to be responsible. It is then that you're ready. It has been. Now, let me back up. Is that going to always be easy? No. Are you going to always clearly see and understand everything? No. Is everything going to go just like you want it to? I'm speaking from experience. No. But guess what? Responsibility has to do with you making every effort to get it right. You get knocked down, that's all right. get right back up. Face disappointment. If you got to cry, go turn your eye in the wall in the corner. Then come on back out and drag your eye and get back in the ring. Get the swing in. Stand up. Maintain yourself. You may have to go retreat for a little while. That's all right, too. But stay in the fight. Don't ever give up the fight. Huh? May have to do like I promised my wife when we put got together. I can't promise you no steak 5 days a week. You may get steak one day or every other week, you understand. And every other day, the rest of the time, it'd be peanut butter and jelly and milk. You understand? But we're going to be together. You understand? We're going to be together. We can share that with the children, and that's a family meal. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know me. You understand what I'm saying? The idea here is that the same male that was born in the world that evolved through boyhood now is a man. And as he commits himself with his female counterpart. I didn't say everybody. Now, do we make mistakes? Sure. Are there instances where people wind up bringing forth life and not able to be under the same roof? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's just an added responsibility for you, though, if you find yourself in that position. What's the responsibility, doctor? The responsibility is to the fact that you're a father and you have a child, an offspring, that you have a role and a duty for until you die. That's the only time you get out of it. Sometimes some good people are in tough spots and they're not able to do what they want to do. This is one of the reasons why I focus through my organization on, and even as a pastor, preaching and teaching, encouraging and instilling these values and these lessons, to let you know that just because you don't know don't mean it's not out there. This is where you come. You're in the right place right now. Talk Straight is produced and sponsored by Building Families and Communities Institute. That's what we're here for. That's what we do it for. All right? So if you don't know, you're a brother out there, you're struggling, you won't answer, don't feel bad. Hold your head up. You're in the right place right now. And anybody that tries to discourage you otherwise ain't your friend. It just ain't your friend. Excuse my English. Now we've come from being born a little boy, little male child, to growing up, developing yourself, starting to act and reaching out as a boy. Now we're at this point where we recognize that there are some things we're responsible for, starting with ourselves. And it's natural for you to be attracted to a female. It's natural. Ain't nothing wrong with that. That's what Elohim created you. That's how he created you. You got a libido. Now, I know a lot of things going crazy and everything, and I'm not going to really get into that. I'm talking about what is natural. Let's stick with that right now, okay? Now you recognize that and you have that attraction. That's a good thing, right? What identifies you moving further from being a man and a husband is what you do, the next steps. It's the next steps that marks you, okay? And these next steps are into full-fledged fatherhood. What? Oh. Still a male. You've become a progenitor as you reproduce life. One of the things that identifies fatherhood, there are two characters, two things, and one of them is responsibility and the assuming a role in the life of a child. But in the most natural sense is when you produce life and you assume that responsibility. Sometimes, again, we talk about death, we talk about separation, physical separation and things of that nature, doesn't allow you to be there. And someone else comes as a surrogate. That means they're not the biological, but they're standing in the stead of. That's what we make reference to. And this concept of fatherhood has to do with assuming that role and responsibility as a man. As a man. Okay? The state of being responsible as a male procreator in the context of commitment through marriage when we talk about fathers. So you see how everybody don't automatically gets to be classified as a father based on, consider my, what we're sharing with you tonight. And if we had time, I would link all this to scripture and to other sociological and theological ideas that would help you understand where we're coming from. I'm not, again, asking you to accept anything I'm offering tonight for those who want to learn. Anyone else, you're free to go your way. But for those who want to learn, we're offering it tonight, okay? So, again, let me emphasize, this concept of fatherhood is delineated specifically by responsibility of this male, this man, as a procreator, as a progenitor, in the context of a commitment through marriage. With who, doctor? With someone who can give birth to a child. Someone that you can get pregnant and they subsequently give birth to your child. If you need me to explain that later, 657-383-0944, that is the number to call. We'll be on air for a minute. All right? So fatherhood is marked by a divine process of responsible replication of life. A divine, what makes it divine? The Bible said, let us make man in our likeness and in our image. It goes on to say, so he made man like that, right? That was divine. You have certain qualities that are divine, naturally. Now, when you're born as a baby, in our lifetime, you're not there yet. First man was made divine and holy, but it's a process to getting there, is what I'm trying to say. That's why we're talking about from birth to fatherhood. Fatherhood is a spiritual state of being where you assume responsibility, not by yourself, but through guidance and with your mate, through promise, and with God. So marriage is a spiritual thing, institution, and status or state of being, where a male and a female recognizes that. Jesus said, what God has put together, let no man, help me, Holy Ghost, pull asunder. I can preach on that, but I didn't come to preach on that tonight. We're going to teach tonight. A father is guided, watch this now, by principles of creation. What, Dr., what you mean? Did you hear what I just said earlier about how the text in Genesis said that man was made in the likeness and in the image of Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God? Yeah. Those are principles of creation. An order, that's what the principle is. When you become a father, you replicate the majesty and the divine nature and potential of the creator of the universe. Help me, Holy Ghost. He is a priest, both in his family and in his community. Say that again, Doctor. What is a priest, Doctor? A priest is a mediator between the creator, deity, and man. In this case, in the home, the father serves as the mediator between his wife and his children, his offspring, in the Almighty. Why the woman can't do that, Doctor? That's not her place, not the divine place or order that Elohim established. Guess why? Well, if he's gone, then naturally she needs to have a prayer life and a communication with the Almighty as well. But the divine order has it that the father be the priest, the mediator between him and his family. This is what Joshua was talking about when he said, as for me and my house. All right? We'll be on there. We can talk about it. I don't mind you asking the question. I'm not offended by it. All right? His greatest treasure, his greatest aim, his greatest hope and desire are to live by faith, to sustain his marriage commitment, and to care for, grow, and develop his offspring, his children. That's what fatherhood is. That's what fatherhood is. Now, 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. I would love to talk with you about it. Love to talk with you about it. Listen to what the OJ said. I believe that this is a prayer that every father could, for sure, and I would argue should pray. Something to this nature. I'm not saying you're going to hell if you don't, or you're a bad man if you won't. But just listen to it just for a second. OJ's.
Time has come where we got to deal with things as they are. And the song you were saying, talking about Heavenly Father, that's one that know it all.
Mm.
See? Mm. Yeah, that's one that definitely know it all right there.
Yeah.
So when I get across the street right here, you might hear kids making some noise right here, brother. And they might want to say something. Yay.
Okay.
Hold on, Pastor. What you say?
How you doing?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Good.
Okay, get back on the sidewalk.
See, you got a pen?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
so I was on the phone, and I was on a podcast. And this is a show that's on. How old are you? How old are you?
Four.
Okay, you six. You want to say hello to Pastor Doctor?
Huh?
This guy's name is Pastor Doctor. Say hello, Pastor Doctor.
Hello, Pastor Doctor.
Hello,
Pastor
Doc.
Hello there. How
okay,
are you?
Yeah. They said they got to do their training. And they took the ball out of my hand and they gone over there. So let them go ahead on.
Hey, that's all right, man. Look, hey, Pastor,
yeah.
as a mouth of babe. Yes, sir. That's a good thing. Bless
you, boy. Yeah, I can I go over here? I gave them the ball so they can let me do this, what I'm doing right now.
Okay. Well, we understand if you have to dip out. Right now, it's just you and I. We're going to go we'll keep it going. We may cut off at 7:30. We may keep going 8 o'clock, but we'll see. We'll see what it does. We'll let it do what it do. Like
Don't get out in the street. Yeah, absolutely, because I got an eye on it, you know. So while we're doing this, they're doing what they're doing. So hey, man, but speaking about what you were talking about, though, going back to that, it's a very, very needed thing, you know. We got kids right now in need of a guidance, you know.
That's right.
Instruction.
That's right.
Of a leader. You know?
That's right.
But in the meantime, you got to meet them where they are. So. That's the thing. So those who don't have a father versus those that do, you know, you got to find out what it's going to take to deal with them both, you know, because a lot of times, you know, they all don't have a father.
That's
so,
true.
And for those that do, you can demonstrate because you have one. Okay, let me do it for you.
Send the ball person to
Yeah, man. So it's just that. I'm sure you got a lot to work with tonight, so you got to put it out there and wait on the calls to call in. I know you can hear all this noise, but that's what they're doing. I'm on the street.
Look, brother, you're doing what we love. You're doing what we love to see you do. We love to hear you doing that. That's like music. I said, we love to hear you doing that. That's like music to me.
Yeah, man. So I think I'd take about a 2 or 3 minute drill, and then it may let me go. They want me to spin the ball on the end pin, so I got a hook on. I'm still tuned in.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, sir. So as we were just saying, that Pastor Wallace out there working, he's on the ground doing his thing there, and we recognize that. Appreciate the babies being able to join us here tonight. But I want you grown folks, 657-383-0944. Give me a call. You listen to us on Facebook right now. I'd like to see what your thought is about this birth process. Now, I know some people don't want to because it may come off as an indictment of some sort. I recognize that. And that's not the intent. As it is to understand why it is so many young males and females find themselves lost in their sense of purpose and their identity. Now, if we're going to be honest, right? If we're going to be honest about that, there's a reason for all of that. There's a reason for that, you know? And some good people experience some bad things. And as a result, that's passed down to their children. Can we erase what has happened already? No. Are we going to be able to stop it from existing? No, but it's a lesson, though. That's what we look at it. It's a lesson. It's a case study for us to break cycles. As I said the other day, if you show me a child that is wayward, that's out of control, that's juvenile delinquent, that's a status offender, a repeat status offender, engage in destructive behaviors, I'll show you a child that lacks this voice of authority of a father. That means the child is somebody bad? No, that means the child is a victim of fatherlessness. And this is a national problem. So some years ago, I began to follow the Council of State Legislatures in their efforts to deal with things like punishments for non-payment of child support. One of the things that they found is that there were a number of reasons. In many cases, if you are brought into the courts for non-payment of child support, you can get up to 180 days in some places for that offense. And the question becomes, how are they working and how are they making a difference if they locked up? So there's some innocent people that get caught up in that, right? And they, you know, sometimes, quite often, let's put the oil where the squeak is, there is a verbal arrangement between the mother and the father, the mom and the daddy. Let me use that phrase, the mom and the daddy, that I ain't going to say nothing about you as long as you give me, take care of your child or, you just be there for them. Well, because they're not married and oftentimes because the mom is receiving public assistance, there's an expectation that somebody step up. So they begin to ask the question, where is the dad? Where's the progenitor? And this is something I know because I worked for a national organization. It's called the Institute for Responsible Fatherhood back in the early 2000s. And that's largely what we did. Our promise was to the government that we were going to, based on the national, the council, state legislators, trying not to be so punitive in child support enforcement, our promise was through our organization that we would engage these men, these males, counsel them, support them in their healthy return to their children's lives. Now, there were a number of barriers, as you can imagine. And we had some interesting cases and it's interesting circumstances, right? But at the end of the day, we understood, and I still believe to this day here in 2021, that is vitally important. Wow, can you believe that? That was 21 years ago. It's vitally important that if a individual wants to be responsible after setbacks, after problems, and they want to be in their child's life, that opportunity is there to be there for them. And that's more for the child's interest than it is anything else. And a lot of gentlemen get it twisted, and they think the effort is about making the female love them or want to be with them. And they manipulate that opportunity and mess it up for everybody. You know? If you're away from, for whatever reason, the mama, and you want to have a pleasant presence in your child's life, and she has custody of the child, one positive thing, one step, is to position yourself to have a place, a residence of your own that you're maintaining, so you can make the case with the mama and perhaps the courts that I should share some custody, and there should be opportunities for me to bring my son, my daughter, in a wholesome environment where I can share and impart the values that I have and to seek to their growth and development along with their the mama. See? Now, that's in a situation where things got cockeyed, got messed up. But in the ideal situation, what we should encourage, and I'm speaking now as a preacher, as a pastor, what we should encourage is more opportunities for before you hook up, you plan. What you say, doctor?
You say it again.
I said before you hook up, you plan. You understand? You prepare yourself. And you say to yourself, I like her. She looked good to me. I want to spend time with her. If she's that good to you, you ought to prepare yourself for the inevitable, depending on how far you go with her. And that is to be responsible for what comes of your engagement, your interaction. That's perfectly natural. Aline made you that way. Don't feel awkward or bad or anything like that. A lot of young boys don't have fathers to tell them as they go through certain physiological changes that's natural. We're talking grown folk talk now. I'm talking about having an erection, having a discharge at night. That's natural. That ain't nothing to be scared or feel bad about. That's natural. That's what boys do. One day you're going to be a man. Come on, somebody. See? When you interact and engage with a female, that is an appropriate and an inappropriate way to do so. Got no business all up on no gal. Unless you're trying to do something. Huh? Y'all talk to me now. Y'all get back with me. 616-573-0944. That's the number to call. That's the number to call. We're talking about from birth to fatherhood. This thing ain't just throw it up on a wall and see what happens. Uh-uh. God made this to be a deliberate process. He wasn't playing. He was for real. He's serious about this thing. Let me hear what you think. Facebook, you're following us there. Give me a post. Shoot me a question. Shoot me a comment. I'll respond to it, and let's talk. Let's dialogue. So I had a monologue earlier, and now it's time for dialogue, two of us. You understand? I wish I had a witness. See, y'all trying to make me preach tonight. I didn't come to preach. I came to talk to y'all. No, but I was saying earlier that it's important that these various, what seem to be small things, this is the reason, brethren, that we must prepare ourselves as fathers, even though we work, even though we provide. Is it easy? No. Do you always get the credit you deserve? Maybe not. But guess what? Why do you do it then? Why do you do it? Because you love your children. Because they are part of you. And as I said the other night, through you, through your instruction, they continue and carry your name. They continue and carry your name. Absolutely. And so what we're speaking of is the opportunity and the circumstance by which when one becomes a father, they assume certain roles. Does that mean you will not have made some mistakes possibly? Or some missteps? No, that's not what we're saying. That's not what we're saying. In fact, as I was saying, my dad and I had that long conversation where, you know, I told him, look, man, this ain't about downing nobody, but it's about improving, right? And that's really what we need, friends, is we need to get to a point where we understand that if we're going to correct certain things, if we're going to break cycles from one generation to the next, then we have to be honest about it. We're joined by Jacksonville, Florida, 3072. That's that pretty lady. That's that pretty girl in Jacksonville, Florida. And we're talking from 3072, from birth to fatherhood. And I laid out that process. Any questions or comments thus far? Look like we lost that one. 3072, you there with me?
Yeah, I'm here with you. No, I just got called in, so I'm just listening.
I appreciate it. Well, it's just you and I right now, and perhaps there's some others followed on Facebook. Let me double back right quick, 3072, And I'm going to ask a question to you. I'm going to ask you a question and see if you can help me tonight. Because, see, I want to go to heaven. You understand what I'm saying? And I want to live right. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do nothing wrong. I spoke up early in the monologue the likelihood that a male who grows to be 40 years old, even though he's chronologically 40 years in the world, he still functions and acts as a naive boy. What do you think about that?
I mean, what is there to think about it other than it's dysfunctional? I mean, it's like functional obsolescence. Yeah, nobody should be, you know, chronologically aged and, you know, acting like they was just born yesterday almost.
Now, this is not a put down. Let me make that clear again. It's not a put down. This is a recognition. And what happens quite often is there are a lot of who take the position that since you act like a boy, I'm going to treat you like a boy. Huh? And they create a box for them to operate in. Is that helping them?
I don't see how it could be.
Okay. Okay. Is it helpful to make excuses for such behavior?
I don't see how it could be. Now, I think, too, what can be missed in that box that's been created, some is allowing the box to be created as a crutch, a shelter even, and I'm not putting anything or anybody down. I'm just merely calling things how I see it as I observe them. So for some women and men, you know, maybe they don't mind dancing to whatever music somebody plays as long as they getting what they think they should get out of a situation. And be it, it could be a place to stay. It could be in a so-called, So, I mean, some of it is self-induced, I feel like.
Yeah. You know, when we talk about fatherhood, there was a crossover in the conversation about relationships, right? Especially with females. And sociologically, there's been a lot of things that have really caused many relationships to go awry, to get out. And I would argue that too often there are some good brothers who don't really understand themselves and who they are, right? And as a result of that, they get into a relationship with a lady, and she started trying to hold them to her. Then they get upset because, you know what I'm saying, you're all up in my stuff, and you always on me, and you always saying I got to do something, I got to do that. We got 8112. That's another pretty lady, y'all, talk straight. Another pretty lady out of Peoria, Illinois. So now we got two pretty ladies on talk straight tonight, one out of Jacksonville, Florida, and another one out of Peoria. Boy, what did I do? I must be living right. Welcome, 12.
Guys, how y'all doing?
Hey, 81.
All right now.
So, 8112, we're talking about the path from being born a male child to fatherhood. And I said, 12, you may not agree with me, and you might. I said too many people have mistaken fatherhood for being a progenitor. Just being able to make a baby.
Okay.
What do you think about that? What do you think about that,
8112? Well, yeah, you're right. Because everybody deserves, every child, excuse me, deserves the right to know and to have their other half parent, which was the father, contribute to the father, so Father's Day, you guys, as well. And, anybody can make a baby. But it's different circumstances as well, because sometimes people are placed in situations they may not even know about a child.
You're right. And that's what we just talking about, 12, that there are some good people who just don't know. Nobody's talking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Nobody's talking.
Yeah,
to
I, I do agree with you wholeheartedly about that.
Yeah,
you're right.
Some years ago.
Hey, y'all having a good Father's Day weekend?
Well, it ain't come yet, but
I said Father's Day weekend.
Yeah, Thursday, prior to Father's Day, it is my intention to have some fathers come on and share their stories, their experiences about, you know, with Father's Day, raising their children, being a father. So,
I'm sorry, I meant to interrupt you. Isn't it Sunday?
Not this Sunday. It's the Father's Day. It's the
14th. It's the following Sunday. No, it's not this Sunday.
Yes. Not this coming Sunday. Not this coming Sunday.
Okay.
But, yeah, the next Sunday. Today is the 10th. Can you believe time is flying like that, 12?
It is.
I see. But, nonetheless, I like what 3072 said. This is not about making anybody feel bad or putting anyone down, but understanding where we are. Now, what role do you think a mother plays in preparing her male child for this inevitability? Now, let me back up, because you might get happy and you may want to hook up with a little gal. You understand? Ain't nothing wrong with that if you do it right. That's all I'm going to say. Do it right now. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? So what role does we got Josh joining us. Josh, I'm coming right to you. Stay with that a little bit. What role does a mama play in preparing her male child for the inevitability that you'll grow up one day, right, and you'll be in a position where you can procreate life? Lady, help me with that.
I'm
sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, 81.
I was only going to say, having five sons myself, I think they're very good parents, fathers towards their children, and taking time with the ones, you know, some, it is what it is. However, I think the mother plays the role that when you would instill it in them, to actually love your children.
Okay.
And we'll follow them for the most part, because usually the mother, when the father can't for whatever reasons be around, the mother takes on both parenting roles. And, you know, you may make mistakes along the way because you're not a male. However, you work with what you got.
Right.
Yeah.
You're doing the best you can in the circumstance.
Yeah.
Okay. What were you going to say, 72?
Oh, I was just going to say that she can prepare her son for that by being one, an example of a good nurturer. Now, men can be nurturers, too. I mean, so, and yes, they have to learn from somewhere. The father may be absent, but she can still teach, a woman can teach a young boy and a man how to love, even.
Interesting.
How to support.
Okay. Interesting.
Most of them get it from, if they don't have both parents, they get it from their mother, like I said. When she shows them love. Because some mothers, everybody, like you said, everybody that make a baby ain't meant to be no daddy. Everybody that makes a, every woman that makes a baby is not motherly material, I put it like that.
Right. That's true. I'm going to tell y'all something I heard the preacher say and get a feedback from y'all. Okay, let's recognize Josh here in Murfreesboro. Let's see. What you say?
Hey, Josh.
How you doing?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hey.
Josh, we're talking from the topic from birth to fatherhood. Now, some people get lost, Josh. They jump out in the water, they try to cross, and they get lost. They'll never make it. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Fathers can definitely stray to the wide path and lose where they're going, another daddy, another daddy, another father, another father. Yeah, the English church. And then sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes the opposite, and maybe we'll flee. And they won't take care of their parents. I mean, their parents and stuff like that. And so both can be devastating, but to the child, they are gonna figure out somehow to get some change. They're
okay.
gonna figure out a way to resolve issues. They're gonna figure out ways to figure out life. Sooner or later, they gonna be the big ball. I mean, the big dead and stuff like that. So they gonna figure out like.
Okay. Ladies, I was gonna share with you all something that this preacher's is on the tip of my tongue. I can't call it pain right now, but very popular evangelical preacher, African American. He said that a woman don't want to be pleased in the bed, and a woman don't want to have to work every day. What y'all think about
what?
That?
What?
What? It makes too much sense to me. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to let 37 handle that
one. Listen to the question.
Okay, A1, you're going to try to set me up, I see. Okay.
Listen carefully to the question, then. He said that a woman does not want to have to go to work every day, and she does not want you to blow her man sexually.
Well, I don't know who the hell told him. Oops, excuse me. See, that's why I said 12 because, wait a minute. I don't know what type of a woman he got, but he got the wrong one.
Can I say, Here's the thing.
I enjoy working. I don't enjoy working as hard as I do.
Right.
So it is always great to have an option to be able to work because you want to versus I have to, like you said. Now, the other thing about she don't want you to blow her mind, I mean, again, I don't know who he's dealing with.
Right.
Listen. I agree with him, Josh.
Hey, can I ask a question?
You got your wife at home, see?
Hold on, Josh. Go ahead, ask your question. Okay. But it says in the Bible now that the moms are the
caretakers. Mm. That's right. That's right.
And so they are the caretakers, shouldn't they stay home?
Shouldn't they what?
Stay home.
He said, shouldn't they stay home?
If they're the caretakers, shouldn't they stay home?
Oh, shouldn't they stay at home? Well, okay.
You know what happened to that, Josh?
Hey, I'm just asking something.
Well, I don't know what you said, but I'm going to say something. a lot of women got caught up with their husbands because a lot of people wind up, the husband will leave the home. The husband, you know, she was the caregiver too. She was a lot of them wanted the wife to stay at home and take care of the kids, bear fruit. Okay, and a lot of them did that because their husband wouldn't allow them to work. But on the flip side of that, when he saw something prettier or younger, some of them, they took off. And you stuck there not having no knowledge of how to take care of you and the children because you the kids wind up with the woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Usual. Well, and as far as the caretakers, that could be in or outside of the home, I feel like. Yeah, it may come a time to where your husband is incapacitated or become disabled.
Okay.
If he hasn't had experience on how to get out there and make it, I mean, and again, I don't think that God gave women lives, brains, and all the other things just to merely sit home and be the caretaker. When he put two people together, it's a joint effort, a joint team thing. It's a husband and wife, a couple. Right, so
well,
you become one. And so, right, both people should play dual roles.
Right.
I mean,
dual roles. Well, now look, 31, I mean, 372, consider this. Proverbs,
yeah.
31st chapter, 10th verse, it asks the question, who can find a virtuous woman? Says her price is far above rubies. Goes on to identify all of these virtuous characteristics and qualities. And everything was about her being the primary caretaker and curator, if you will, of the family, of the home. And in the text, if you read the text clearly, it said that a husband don't want for nothing. Help me, Holy Ghost. What's up with that?
Well, a lot of them probably don't. They want, yeah, some of them want plenty outside of the home. That's a lie.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Could that be a grown woman? Hey, 81-12. I believe you're describing someone other than a husband and a father who was a man.
Why?
First.
So that, what?
That's
so,
what,
okay.
What do you say? Go ahead, 12. I mean,
you said she's describing someone other. No, she's not either.
Yes,
some husbands want the wife to stay home merely so they can have an excuse or they can have a reason to be gone, to feel like, you know,
right.
I'm the man, I'm the ego, the whole ego thing. And
yes,
so when they slip up and maybe like, 81 said, and their vision is shifted somewhere else. Oh, well, I work hard enough, and I deserve to be right. Well, she works hard, too. So I don't know. It's a two-way street.
Let me address a point that you made. You said some husbands. Now, I in the monologue, I clearly defined the principal order that Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God, created from the beginning for husband and wife, a man and woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying
mm-hmm.
to you that despite what is going on in our society and what has been
mm-hmm.
going on probably in our lives that we've witnessed, that's not the divine order, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And a husband, since the concept of marriage, commitment, and husband came from God, I'm going to go with what God said. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
Now, what I identify, what I submit to you is you're dealing with a grown male that's
mm-hmm.
still a boy. If he don't
mm-hmm.
have enough sense to know and appreciate what he has at his home through his wife and children, that's a grown boy who's still naive trying to find him. He just claims that he's a husband. What's wrong with one, 12?
I really don't agree with that. That doesn't make him a boy trying to find out who he is. That just makes him whorish.
Do you know what?
I'm sorry. You know, I told
that's
you.
Right. Let me define. I'm going to go back for you, and I started by saying I'm not asking everybody to accept this, but I'm offering this for instructional purposes. And I started this back in 2006. This lecture series on fatherhood and teaching how to grow from being born a male boy to a... I'm coming to you, Miss P. Miss P is on Facebook, and she's dropping it like it's hot already. I'm coming back to you, Miss P. Give me a second there. But I just want to make this point, and that is that there's a vast difference from what we've seen and heard. And a lot of times, one of the reasons we have broken homes and children messed up and relationships shattered is because of these ideologies and these ideas in the world. But the Bible was right. God was right when he set forth an order for man to govern himself. And no man of God, no woman of God, no one that is living according to that promise will engage in those things. And what I'm telling you is that what I'm defining as boy-type behavior, and if you, I'm coming to you, Ms. P, just bear with me one second. I'm just going to go back to what I shared in the and this is part of my print material in the workbook that I authored. What I define as the boy is one who is both naive and cocky. Naive and cocky. If you got a fella who thinks he can maintain a home with his wife and children and slip out and have a dual life, guess what? He's naive and cocky. I don't care how chronologically grown he is.
I'm sorry, not even what?
Cocky. Big head. Cocky. Like big head. Like he's strong. Like he's bad. Like he's slick. Like he got it going on.
Oh, I
don't
think my had it going on.
Go on somewhere 8112. I ain't messing with you. Let me. Okay, y'all hold that thought. I'm going to go back to Ms. P on Facebook. She says, the woman depicted in Proverbs 31 was a woman that worked outside the home.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, I was just typing this very point. She was entrepreneur. Watch out now, Ms. P. Watch out, Ms. P. She was entrepreneur, she says, but took care of a home as well. Interesting. Her last statement is, oops, I meant typing. She worked because she wanted to, not because she had to or forced to do so. Now, the exegesis of the text in Proverbs 31st chapter, a proper exegesis will find that her career, her job, is her family. As Joshua said beautifully, she's the curator of the home. I think sometimes when people engage in conversation about the role of man and woman and family, they assume they got to compete with one another about importance or significance. It's vitally important that both roles are there and both voices of authority, both examples are there for children.
Mm-hmm.
There's no competition there.
Mm-hmm.
The character in Proverbs did that because she understood that's what Elohim created a helpmate to do. Not to be someone that's in competition or going tit for tat with a husband, but someone that makes a contribution. You're right, 37-2. You don't need
what she said, yep.
Yeah, you're right, 37-2. Don't no man need no dumb woman. Help me, Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And a woman don't need no pump. And a woman don't need no pump. Joshua, hold on now. Listen, but... In balance, what you want is two people, a man and a woman, who understands that we're, as Jesus said, no more two, but one.
Mm-hmm. 37,
one in what? One in fulfilling a promise before the Creator and ourselves to our children. That's how we replicate life. Oh, man, Well, I felt my help right there, Pastor Wallace. I didn't, Miss P, I didn't want to preach, but I felt something like that.
That's beautiful. That's, for unfortunately, it don't happen like that a whole lot.
That's our problem. So, 12, that's our problem. We have made normal the things that should not be, and abnormal the things that ought to be. That's our problem. And I blame preaching. I'm blaming myself, that's why. What do you say, Josh?
You can't blame the preacher.
I say, yes, it is. But we can change it if we want to, but That's the
you
thing.
Know,
we don't want it changed.
You know, Josh, here's the thing, Josh. There's incentives for dysfunctionality. There's incentives for sin. There's incentives for doing things that are counterproductive, right? Because you get credit, you get recognition. As a statement I'm wanting to make, and I want to make sure, ladies, that this is appropriate for our venue here tonight. But, you know, a married woman has to make sure that it is understood by everybody else that my commitment is only to one place, and that's the promise and marriage that I have. Is it possible for you to slip out just like the male? Is it possible for the male to slip out? We're talking about fatherhood right now. Is it possible for the male to slip out 72 and get away with it? Nobody see it? You know what you did. You know what you did, and God knows. That was Holy Ghost. Huh?
Yeah.
Listen, if you cover your head, your feet gonna show. If you cover your feet, your head gonna show. If you fly to the utmost, he'll find you there. It's nowhere you can run and hide. Okay, let me be quiet.
No.
In the dark, we'll come to the light one day.
Watch it, girl. Look, 8112, you trying to preach on me tonight now. Watch yourself. Watch yourself. That's it. And here's the point, though. Here's the point. And I know we kind of saying that laughingly, but the reality is that you are committed because you're there. And that's what people need to understand before you say you get married, is that this is not something you take lightly, right? Because what your children see and the effect that you have on them is going to stick with them for a long time. So they may be able to get over it. They may be able to, you know, get past the hurt and pain. But the truth of the matter is that there was designed that way for a reason. And when people can understand, Josh, that God wasn't drinking when he came up with this stuff. He wasn't smoking. He was intentional about what he did, man. He knew that was going to be good and possible. Yeah. We're 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. We're talking tonight on Talk Straight from the topic From Birth to Fatherhood. Everybody that makes a baby is not a father. But every father has made a baby or is raising a baby. All right? Give us a call here. See what someone. Miss P is on here on fire tonight. I appreciate that, ladies, all the ladies here. And I want to be clear that what we see a lot of times, 72, is people automatically coming at the gate ready to fight and, you know, to take a jab.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
woman against the man against the woman. Is that how helpful is that, 72?
Well, actually, I think it's very counterproductive. It's not helpful at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, if one person is already swinging a knife, two people don't need to be doing that. I mean, let that one swing the knife while the other one try to calm things down and diffuse the situation.
Now, so there's economics comes in and things of that nature. I was working with, I mentioned earlier that I worked for the Institute for Responsible Fatherhood, and our task was to go and get young men, 8112, who the courts were looking for because of non-payment child support, right? And we said to them, allow us to mediate. Don't lock them up.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of guys go lay down and do 180 days. But as many of them as the judge will allow us to, some of them were so far gone, they told them, you're just going to lay down for a little while. And then, then we'll give you another shot. But what we said to them was, give us an opportunity to work with them, to counsel them, and come up with a responsible plan for them to pay their arrearage, but more importantly, have a healthy children. This one fella, his challenge was he wanted to be there, right? But he was the one of the biological fathers of his child's mother. And in his mind, I ain't going to pay no other blank kids. I shared with him, in this case, loving your son means at least respecting and appreciating his siblings. Right? So it's not that you're doing something for some other man. You're doing that because tangentially that affects your son. You understand what I mean? It was a hard thing for him to wrap his mind around. But again, when we talk about the responsibility of fatherhood, there are things you do not so much because it makes you happy or you comfortable, but you do them because you must. Let me yield the floor to anybody to comment on that.
Well, I agree. Some years ago, I met a handyman who came to do some work at the house, and we were talking about him being divorced. But with him being divorced, he still loved his ex-wife to the extent to where he kept up with her. She was on drugs, and her boyfriend, who was on drugs. He loved her enough to understand that, you know, things didn't work out the way we wanted them to, but I still love you, and whatever I can do, he was explaining, to help her, he do. And even if when and if it means bailing out or helping that old drug dealer boyfriend, you know, drug addict boyfriend, too, because out of his love for her and his love for their children. So, I think that speaks volumes, and that takes a very grounded and mature person, like you said, to not just act out on because, I'm with them or they with me and my kids. No, your kids should, your love for your kids should reflect your behavior overall in whatever relationship you're in.
And, it should reflect how much you love them unconditionally.
Wow.
Unconditionally.
That's a, you know, Josh, here's the thing, though. There's so much hurt and pain. And, well, I think you spoke to this before, too. In various relationships, people can't get past the hurt and pain. That's the suffering.
You're right.
Go ahead.
I got past it because I also left my children's father because of them doing things they didn't have no business outside of my relationship. First of all, that's jeopardizing my health.
Second
of all, when you love someone and you're in love with them, that's a horse of a whole nother color because it takes pain from within, and it takes time to get over that.
Okay.
And when the kids are around, they see this pain when their mama hurt, a lot of them hurt just like that.
That's right. That is so true.
And 8112, that hurt that they're exhibiting from seeing the mom hurt could carry on into their adult life.
Kids can't tell the difference, even though the mother may try to hide her pain. I did it for a long time. And finally one day I said, forget this. I can no longer do this. I taught my children, you don't speak ill of your dad. Only I can do that. You don't do that.
You, hey,
Hey, Swell, you stop that, man. You stop
that. But I ain't lying. That's what I said. You don't do that. I can do that. No. You can't. He's okay. Not my father.
I got you. Yeah, Josh, can I bring in Ms. P here on Facebook? But I was just going to say, y'all were talking, I remember the article I read, it's been a few years ago now, about this article suggested that a large percentage of young black males that were locked up were there because someone hurt or disrespected their mother. That's why they spent time. That was an interesting, very interesting article that I read. It's been some years ago now. But let me bring in Ms. P from Facebook. She says a mature man, chronologically, age does not denote maturity. She put that in parentheses. Not a man boy. Oh, boy, would understand the concept of what you're all talking about. Now, the man
boy.
All right. I also define specifically what a man was. And if I might, since you brought that in, And I see that St. Louis is joining. But since you brought that in, let me, Miss P, let me offer from. That's why we have the monologue, to bring context to our conversation, because I put this stuff out there, and I want to. And again, I also gave my email if anyone wanted to get some references for what we're talking about. This book can still be printed on demand. Manhood, Miss P, we define as the state of being. Watch this. A responsible male in thought and action. A responsible male in thought and action. That's what makes you a man. So you can have somebody chronologically that's 5 or 6 decades and never learned that lesson. That ain't a down. I ain't dinging nobody. But I unfortunately, I see a lot of cats like that to this day. They act just like a little nappy head boy, like they don't know how to tie their shoes up. There you go. But that's the world we live in, unfortunately. But so yes, absolutely. What has happened is a lot of people have seen folk clown and cut up get all the attention. They make all the noise. And then everybody assumed that that's the norm. That's what right. That's what you should expect. When you've never heard from those who have been productive, who have been correcting their actions and things, you don't hear them. They're not making noise. You know why you don't hear them, Joshua? Because they busy taking care of business. They don't have time to be clowning and fooling and making a bunch of noise and making a scene. They busy. When you see somebody out there doing all that, they got too much time on their hand, 8112. somebody needs to get them something to do, because they ain't got enough to do with it. And they become a problem for everybody, though. But welcome, St. Louis. We're talking from the topic, from birth to fatherhood. We're talking about tonight. Feel free to post a question, comment there as you move.
Well, I'm back.
Okay, all right. We've been here since 7 o'clock, so welcome to the discussion.
You know, here's the thing. I hear the conversation, and the lady, Miss P, is absolutely right in her observation. But I understand that in New York, Mayor of the Basketball is talking about closing down Rikers Island, which is a maximum. It's a pretty tough prison. And it's another women's prison there in New Jersey that they talk about the conditions. And like you just got through making mention, that you have people who observe how those who are cutting up get all the attention, which is true. But when do the victim come into account? You have these advocacy groups on closing prisons, letting people out. And believe me, I sympathize with those who've been accused of wrongful doing, but I think the process should carry out to exonerate them if they need so.
Okay.
But those who have committed crimes against individuals, and I hear people complaining that, well, they only get paid 15 cents an hour. Well, then if you pay them $20 an hour, you're asking the victim to pay twice, as a taxpayer and as a victim. So how do you work that out, Ruben?
I don't know, and I'm not sure. Now, help me in your understand in your mind. How does that relate to fatherhood? I will, that's a whole nother gamut of discussion, really, if you ask me.
Well, it's the same, because if a male don't become a good father, he have a child, a male child, and that male child have a tendency, likelihood to fall in the steps. Now you've got two males that's been wasted. And they also have hurt victims too.
Okay. I see what you're saying. Now, so to that point, one of the reasons why I'm convinced that it's vitally important that, you know, and I'm going to put the weight on me as a preacher, as a pastor, see? And that's because we're talking about values now. We're talking about character development now. And that's not something you can legislate. But there is one place historically in society that people lend that authority and give their respect to, and that's the clergy, the place of the church or the ministry, right? And so for that reason, I'm going to say that that's a good place to start. You can stop victimization on many levels. And one of the reasons why, a lot of data that support, one of the reasons why those people that are sin victimize other people, it's because they've been victimized, sadly enough. It's a negative cycle. So when I talk about fatherlessness and the lack of fatherhood, it's not just a gender problem, but it's a societal problem. It's not just a black problem or white problem. It's a societal problem. And we certainly need to dig deep into it to understand its root cause. So, but, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Victims often go without restitution. And, you know, in the case where somebody's been murdered, how do you bring the loved one back, no matter what you do?
And you say it's a societal problem. Is it not a matter of choice? Somewhere along the line, it has to be.
Well, so what? Okay, that's a whole other question, because the question is what drives your choice and your decision to certain behaviors, and I don't want to get lost in those weeds there, but I appreciate where you're coming from.
Okay.
Ms. P said hurt people. Now, let me go back to Josh. Joshua, you said you were talking about certain places and the productivity in the home that comes from, and we're talking about tangentially what a father, right? And you said something, and 72 said something earlier. 72 was talking, I think that was 72, talking about somebody slipping out, 72. Don Covey said she was stepping out. I was stepping out, and she was coming in, or something to that effect.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
812, you know what I'm talking about. But so this whole idea of everybody cheating, Joshua, and everybody doing everything but what it's intended for them to do in the context of the home, if the father is not responsible, and you notice he didn't get responsible when he became a father. He was responsible when he became a man.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to making the commitment as a husband, right? And ideally,
mm-hmm.
this is when he procreates and become the father. We explain all that. My point is, Joshua, I'm asking you the question, Joshua. What then do we place the blame on anyone, or is it something that we should look at as a norm or abnormal thing that has become commonplace because the media and everybody else is praising and blowing it up? Do we place it on that individual male, Joshua, that failed in that regard, or how do we look at it? How do we approach it?
Um,
we can help the young as much as we help.
Wow.
As much as we did, like 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Really? I don't think we can help them as much as we did then.
Interesting.
Why
is that, Josh? Right quickly. Why is that? What do you mean?
Right now in this society, they are kicking themselves in the curb. They're doing it themselves. So, after a while, we can't stop them anymore.
Interesting. We can't go there tonight because that's going to take me down another road, Josh. But I'm making a note of that, Joshua, because that's an interesting thing. What I'm hearing you say is that now the children are turning on themselves and counting themselves out. So now the adults can't do anything. Interesting thought.
They choose their role for themselves.
Wow. Okay.
Some of them do the good path. Some of them don't.
Yeah. My only counter
but
to that.
But it's all on themselves now.
Interesting. My only counter to that, Joshua. My only counter to that. And because I'm looking at the time, and I cannot believe that we're down to 12 minutes already. I don't know what 3072 did to the clock. But, Josh, my only counter to that is, you know, I said that if you see a child out at midnight, and whether they have a banana or a pistol in their hand, the problem is they didn't have a parent, a responsible guardian, someone that had legal authority over them. They were not responsible. I submit that to you. And so when we say that children are in position and empowered to determine their failure or success, they're children. That's why they need fathers. That's why they need mothers. They need authority figures. They need authority figures in their lives. That's my only counter to that. And I think that that's where, but I can't go there tonight, Josh. That's going to take me down that road. And we, from birth to fatherhood is what we've been talking about. While you all, anybody want to respond to that? While you all do that, I'm going to give Ms. P an opportunity for a final thought here. Because time is getting away from us here. What do you think about that, 8112? You think you're going to give up on them, baby?
I don't think so. Because one thing, as a mother, I do know, they may leave your apron string, but then they stay on your heart. So I do know that. No, I don't give up. I'll give up before I give in.
Always. Okay.
Hope. Always hope for to do better in greatness.
Well, and you may have to take a belt and snatch it out of my little hand. But there's hope there, isn't it?
Boy becomes a man and a father as well.
Okay.
There ain't no snatching no belt anymore. That starts when they're young. And it ends at a certain age. And if they don't know right from wrong, if it's been still within them, then they'll have to figure out life for themselves, as most of us do and have had to.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I take your point. What about 72? What do you think about that? Uh-oh. 72, you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't even know how to respond, honestly.
What's
yeah, how are you?
was wrong.
I'll yield.
Okay. Well, I'll say this. At the end of the day, it is incumbent upon us as parents. And not only do we have the natural and legal authority, but we have the spiritual authority to train up our children in the way mm-hmm. that they should. That's our duty. Now, we read the text in Malachi, the 4th chapter and 6th verse, where if fathers don't come back, Joshua, and assume their role, earth will be smoked with a curse. And I submit to you that one of the manifestations of that is the curse we see all across. My wife was asking me earlier today, she said, what is going on with all these people just randomly shooting folk and going, I mean, they're just going
wild.
Yeah. We've had at least almost 10 homicides here in Nashville in the 2 week span. That's a little unusual
yeah.
for us. And of course, you know, Chicago is just normal places and other places. It, you know, it just seemed like there's no rule there. So, but there you go. Let's do this. Let's say, Lord, you join us a little late, but let's get a final thought from everybody as we wind down the show. If Pastor Waller was out on the block and had some little babies to call in and say hello to us tonight. So we appreciate that. You want to start us off there, 3072?
Well, I just enjoyed the part that I was at, and I think that we should be careful not to blame the mothers that have been left with the children for doing the best that they can, but we should try to uplift them and be supportive.
Yeah, agree. Okay. All right, let me throw Miss P in there. This is her final thought. Thank you, Ms. P, for sharing that with us. We have left biblical principles, she says. However, it takes a village. During my childhood, the entire community raised, had eyes, and raised us. Okay, that's what she's saying. They had eyes, kept their eyes on them and raised them. She said the entire community. Well, that's helpful, too. That's helpful, too, to have that approach where we have the village concept of loving all of our children. So those that are wayward and that are without parents and that influence, that could certainly kick in and be of help there. Thank you, Ms. P, for joining us tonight. What about it there, St. Louis?
Well, it takes a functional village.
Okay, good point. Good point.
Village ain't function, but those days are gone, long gone, dude. They're not coming back because of the changes that you have in societies today. You have diverse societies with people that make up that society come with a different culture. And actually, in the world, they're opposing culture, warring cultures. So the least thing you can do, as I've said before, is that your children, your grandchildren, you make sure that they are well-grounded, well-educated. Make sure that they take on the hard things because life is hard, from what I hear. I hear people complain about it all the time, so it must be hard. So if life is hard, apparently, those that was supposed to come into the world are not able to handle the hard stuff. Therefore, people are suffering.
Okay. You know, there's hope. There's hope. I believe there's hope that somebody will get it right. If not everybody, somebody will get it right. Well, I appreciate that, sir. Thank you for joining us there this evening. And I think we're left with 8112. Did we hear from you, 8112?
Yeah, I just want to say God bless everyone, and everybody has their opinions about different things, and that's fine. I respect that. I'm going to say stay safe. I love you guys. It's always glad to hear from you, and I'm out.
All right. Well, we thank you all. And with that, Pastor Wallace is still out, and he did tell us that he was on the ground there and wasn't going to be able to.
Tell him we said hi. Tell him I said hi.
I will do that. I'll do just that. And, you know, y'all sweet on him anyway. I don't know why y'all know me like that.
He's sweet on you, too.
Okay. I feel better now, as well.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I'll be blessed. Good night.
All righty. All right. With that, we're grateful for everyone's participation here tonight. And Ms. Pete, thank you for joining us on Facebook and communicating with us there, and all the others that have watched and from time to time individuals come back later and share with us. We appreciate that as well. We'll be back, Lord willing, on Tuesday night for another episode. And as I said, look forward to, we hope to have a couple of fathers to join us on next week, which should be like the Thursday the 17th. That's the Thursday, the show before Father's Day. Just want to have them an opportunity to share about their experiences with fatherhood and things of that nature and challenges and so forth and so on. But we'll be back on Tuesday of next week for another episode of Talk Freedom. On behalf of our co-host, Pastor Rick Wallen, this is your host, Reverend Dockery, and we'll see you then.
You are my son, I say. Me and you are to help me to take the name. So the world will know who is the blame for all the wrongs. I pray that your will be done. Let it shine with understanding. Let it shine down on all mankind. All the way I the final day.
That's
it. I pray for the sick and the weak ones too. Just the two. And all the those who are strong, let them know their purpose. Let them be aiming for you. Well, that don't work for you.
Yeah.
And let your holy.